Right there.
There it is. There it is. Trust the journey.
Trust the journey.
Welcome to the apocalypse, Kurt.
Oh, it's a nice apocalypse, man.
You like it?
Use some hammocks, though. It's the best apocalyptic sleeping bedding thing ever, man.
Yeah. I mean,
you put them up in a ship.
Yep.
Put them up over rough ground.
I never felt comfortable in hammock. I do not feel comfortable at all in a hammock. You know those German sailors? I met a whole bunch of them when we were up at the Boston Toss Ships Festival. And we were the flagship, United States Navy flagship, the USS John F. Kennedy. And we were always up there at the Toss Ships Festival in Boston. And we got to tour a lot of the ships. Well, there's a massive sailing ship that the German naval force, their officers have to spend like 2 years on this thing. And it's brutal. And they all sleep in the hammocks. And there's no way. I couldn't do it. I don't know why. Can you sleep comfortable in a hammock?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got one. I bought one years ago for camping. And really for a bikepacking trip back in the woods. And man, it's light. You can put them up off the ground and make them level no matter where you're at, so you can camp in these like really remote spots that hopefully you're not going to see anybody.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true. I'm the pad on the ground guy. I guess, you know, now that I think about it, I'm always putting up with a root or something. Some rock shoving up through the backside there.
Sticking, yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome to John Graves Kayak Fishing here. We are buried in the apocalypse. Why? Because it's cool down here. I don't know. It's probably, what, 62 degrees or so?
Feels great down here.
It does feel good. We're buried in the farthest, I guess it would be the northeast side of our house. You know, I think if you're going to have a place where you need to go to and shelter, you definitely want to think about that. Whatever structure you're in, this is definitely the home run room right here. Kind of had to build this room in a way, but I like the fact that it has the original poured cement walls down here. It keeps it cool, you know, down here.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps the powder dry and the beans dry. We're good to go. And it's a good place to come down here and is sleep. I have slept down here.
Oh, it's quiet.
Yeah. You know?
Probably the quietest place in your house with those dogs.
Well, it is, unless, well, Baby Doll's office is right upstairs. So, and she likes to wear high heels. So, she has a certain rhythm when she walks. I know it's hers. She'll probably be showing up here pretty soon. So you'll hear the dogs, our first line of defense here at the Rockin' Star Ranch. A lot of canine teeth coming at you, but you'll hear those. It's like we have the solid wood floors up there, which is not a very good thing to do with your dogs, really. I don't think so. Because it's like ice for them, you know? And it sounds like a bunch of, like, a cross-country team coming across the basketball court, you know, in their spikes. But I got a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear about your recent tournament. I'm really excited to hear about some of the first aid medical applications that you used. You got a pad down there? You're on the floor.
I'm just on the floor. I'm good.
Dude, right here. Use this.
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me when your ass cheeks get hard, because this is, again, this cement right here, man, you know. Boom. And a cowhide. That's all you got between
the
you.
Cowhide. The cowhide sets the place off.
It does. So, tell me about it, man. You went down there, and this was a pretty good tournament for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I can't complain. Anytime you get a check in a Hopi event, which means you're in the top 10%, you gotta be happy, you know? I mean, these guys that are showing up for those events, it's just, they're all really hungry, and they're all good sticks, you know? It's just such a highly competitive environment. So anytime you make it, and you know, I was lucky enough to get ninth and get in there, man, those guys, I'll tell you, those Queen City guys from down there, they took second through seventh. That doesn't always happen. A lot of times, you'll see one or two local guys up towards the front, and that's it. These guys, man, second through seventh.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not the first time either, though. I mean, they're getting really consistent up there in the top tens of These tournaments, aren't they, the local guys?
Those guys are.
Yeah.
Those guys are. Their club is, they always have big tournaments, and they're just really competitive guys down there. And then the cool thing to see is that even though they're super competitive, that they're very much encouraging each other.
Right.
You know, and their camaraderie that they have and their brothership that they've formed down there is really something special. Right. You don't see it everywhere you go.
Right.
You know? And those guys are...
Now they just got together recently or so, just a new group of guys that
have been around. They've been together for a little while. You know, I don't honestly know their history.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're kind of far away from me, but
right.
You know, since the Hobies have been going down there, I've of course been following those down. You know, they were kind of responsible for Norman as well, and they also had a tournament going on at the same time Hobie did. You know, which was really cool as well. Yeah, beautiful lake, man. If you've ever never been there, it is just a great place to go. And
what's your favorite thing about it?
Is that they left a lot of the trees. You know, even though there's people own property pretty much all the way around the whole lake, and everywhere you look there was a dock, they left a lot of the trees. So you didn't see, like at Norman, you saw manicured lawns. To mansions.
Yeah.
Or a manicure lawn to mansions and then a trailer in between them.
Right.
Right? And that was the deal at Norman, where this place was, the places were really nice when you could see them, but you couldn't really see them. It was just, you know, and that's just me. That's just what I like. I'm a tree hugger. I like that natural environment. I like when the trees droop down in the water. I like all that stuff.
Right.
You know? So that was really cool. And just all the different species they have down there, man. They got good population of striped bass, spotted bass, and because it's a blueback herring lake,
right.
The fish on the main lake fed right. Totally different than anywhere else I've been.
Right.
I mean, they're missiles. They are so skinny, but they are missiles, man. And it was no question when you had a hookup.
Right.
I mean, it was bam. Every single bite was positive. There was no
wow.
There was no, oh, I just picked it up. But, yeah. I mean, they were attacking these things.
Yeah.
I mean, all that to me just, you know, was really cool. And that there's small towns all around the lake, so you can easily get around. And the lake was really big, so they had people spread out. And on top of that, kayak friendly-wise, the amount of puddings. There were ramps everywhere.
Nice. That's when you have that opportunity, not just like two or three ramps that everybody just packs up on. And
yeah, it gets brutal then, man. It gets brutal, you know. And it's funny because this lake was a little, when you look at it, it's a little hard to determine exactly where to go because a lot of it looks very similar, you know. It's one of those high mountain reservoir lakes. It's got a lot of points to it. It's got a little bit of vegetation, tons of floating docks, no dock. I didn't see a single dock that had a pier in the water, which aren't my favorite docks to fish.
Right.
You know.
You talk about the ones that you did, floating docks are not your favorite?
Are not my favorite.
Just not established, right? I mean, that's what you're looking for. It's just an old beat up dock, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know, when you have those piers go down the front of the docks,
yeah.
Stuff collects around them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Underwater. It's structure underwater. There's probably poured cement and pylons down there underwater.
Right.
That gives it more structure. When they're just floating, they're solely relating to the shade.
Right.
You know, there's nothing vertical for them to pull up tight to.
Makes a lot of sense.
And the other thing was, I just didn't notice, like, I don't know, maybe you're not allowed to on that lake, but I didn't see anyone put in brush piles next to their docks. Right? I mean, everywhere else I go, half the docks have brush piles next to them.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the reasons the docks get cast is brush piles, because people want to fish off the docks.
Right. They want to catch some crappie and some bluegill we're using with the grandkids and stuff. Now, everybody, maybe there's some big old gnarly HOA rule you couldn't.
Yeah, there might have been. You know, every lake's unique, and that's one of the things that made it unique.
So you're dealing with just the docks. Well, they're floating. Again, floating docks.
They're floating docks. It was a little different than what I like to look for.
What was the success down there for you?
You know, for
it worked.
Swim bait. Man, that was...
It's working swim bait. You like that swim bait. You still using the same... you talked about it on the last podcast there. Is it the same
thing? No, it's a little different one. This is like a three, almost a 4-inch, like 3.75 swim bait. Mm-hmm. It was just, I think this one was a Strike King that we used down there.
Right.
Not the Bass Pro one that I used earlier in the season. This
is that even got a name to it?
The Bass Pro one?
Yeah.
Squirmin' Shad, I think.
A Squirmin' Shad.
Yeah.
Could you imagine sitting around a marketing table?
I know, man.
Trying to come
Where'd
up.
Where'd they come up with that name?
Squirmin' Shad. Call it the Squirmin' Shad. Everybody into the Squirmin' Shad, let's see a show of hands. So you're just working it. You're just popping it up and down.
Man, I was burning it, man. This fish wanted
fast
and crazy, and I was kind of working like a jerkbait, too.
Yeah.
And I've honestly never been on a lake where you could really work it like that. And once I kind of figured out what they wanted, because, so, you know, I went there day one, and when I got there day one for my pre-fishing, I went to my number one spot, you know, and, like, looked the best. And I ended up fishing it for the tournament, which was awesome. That's the second time that's happened to me. Third time it's happened to me, second time this year that's happened to me. I've been able to fish my, what I feel like at home from just doing study is going to be where I want to fish, but I end up fishing there. And man, it was just awesome, man. I just went, once I realized that they just wanted erratic and fast, man, talk about fun. I caught a bunch of fish
that
day. And they, like I said, none of them were huge. I think the biggest one I caught was an 18, a bunch of 16s and stuff, but it was just, and it was points. I had picked a two-point place that had two major points, and it had like what I would call a couple minor points and then a couple little tiny flats.
Right.
And it was, that was the juice, man. Because, you know, pre-fishing, I tried it for that largemouth bite, man. I really did. I mean, I went to 5 different creeks, right? And they all looked juicy there. This lake, when you got in the back of every creek, it had buck brush that was flooded, standing timber, and I just couldn't put together a solid largemouth bite. I just couldn't do it, and I'm hearing all week long, everyone's, you know, Russ and all these guys. We had a guy in our house who knows everybody, I guess, and was getting Jason Isaacs, who just talks to a lot of people, and he's just like, they're all catching 90s, man, 90-inch bag days, and, you know, I'm like, God damn it, I was just in a creek yesterday and I didn't catch anything. So I'm like, I'll go to another one. And I just couldn't find a solid pattern on it. And I was flipping stuff and I was catching them flipping. But I just, you know, and a lot of people say that the spotted bass are really unpredictable. Not so much. You know they're going to move, right? So when you pick an area for spotted bass, you know you're going to have to come back to the next day or come back for 2 days. That has to have multiple things there for them to relate to.
Right.
You know, and so you have to pick an area, not a spot, you know. And that's what I did. I found an area that had two big points, had some minor points, and then it had some flats, you know, small flats. That gave me a lot of different stuff to fish. And guess what they did? They moved from when I pre-fished for them, and every day the bite was different.
You know? Dang, darn it.
But it was great, though. Yeah. Well, no, it was great. I mean, honestly, I expected that to happen. It was spotted.
It's great when you know what you're doing.
Well, you get a little lucky sometimes, man. Dude,
if there's ever a Mattel action figure, Kurt Schmidt's kayak fisherman, it has to have a button on it that goes, well.
Come on, man. Come on.
Asking the Magic 8-Ball question, you know, Kurt, should we go fishing in the Little Miami River today despite the fact that I have chores? Well! and then the iconic laugh. So that's exciting. And you're, man, who's this Mr. Ewing Miner? Am I saying his name right?
Man, I call him Ewing, man. I don't know what
high Ewing sounds pretty cool. I heard you refer to him earlier as Ewing, and I went, ooh, that's got really kind of an F-14 Navy Top Gun sound to it.
Yeah, that kid can fish, man. He just pops into a couple kayak fishing tournaments that happen to be Hobie BOS's and gets a first, a second, and an eighth.
Right. And we talked to him briefly, I think, before about him, but that was just, I think, his first, like, kind of, hey, here I am. But so, you know, that's more than luck. That's more than just showing up and going, oh, wow, look what happened to me, you know?
He can fish. I forget the name of the college that he's at, but he's on the
fishing. He knows team. What he's doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he is. Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good.
I got this saddle over here. Here, check this bad boy out. We're sitting down like TP style here, man. This is great. Around the, buried deep in the house here. So it's the coolest spot. It's hot out there in southwestern Ohio right now, man.
Yeah. Damn. It basically went from, I don't want to say winter, but really cool conditions to 90.
Right.
What was this last week? It was 60 degrees.
Right. Amazing. It'll be snowing here in a couple weeks. And we always joke about that stupid stuff there. But yeah, so he had some experience fishing before. It's just, this just is, he got turned it onto the kayak and, you know, and here he is. And boy, I think that's a real good kind of display of what some young gun could do in this sport. And really,
he's 19.
19 years old.
19.
What was you doing when you were 19?
I don't think I can tell people on this program what I was doing when I was 19. You know, it's a long time ago. But it's really great to see E-Wing have so much positive energy about it and just come in like a barbarian and just smash on everybody. You know, I've had several people come up to me and legitimately saying that they wish he would stop fishing the kayak stuff and stay in the boat world.
That's...
And you know, because, when he comes, he's pulling up the big fish. He's being a big stick. And I was like, no, I was like, this is the best thing to happen. I was just like, you know, the higher the level of the competition, the better it is, man. And to have some kid come in and just be able to put it together, these different lakes and different parts of the country, it's also like that. All that does is sharpen us,
right?
You know, as anglers. So I mean, and he's a nice kid. He seems really cool, man. I've only got to talk to him about the awards because he places in front of me.
You know the back of his head, what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm like, gosh, man, you know. He's a good kid, though.
That's cool. Good for him. So congratulations, kid. Congratulations, kid. Yes, that's for sure. So you're getting, you're up there still in the Angler of the Year points. You know exactly where you're at?
Well, I don't know exactly where I'm at. They haven't released the new ones, but they're going to be coming out. I'm hoping I hold on to second.
Right.
Pretty sure Ewing's going to take first.
Right.
But, you know, however they end up, man. We still got a lot of the season to go.
Right.
We were talking earlier, you know, there's four events left. I mean, it's pretty, someone who does all four events, or five events, man, I can, two good placings can change everything.
So even a schlepper like myself could just show up and just like, God, just give me the greatest 2 days of fishing in my life ever.
Boom.
Now, I get 5 16-inch fish.
And you're in.
And I'm in.
And you're in.
5 16-inch fish. That's a good rule. You were talking about that earlier. And I thought, you know, because what brought that up was yesterday during the 150-mile radius, which we have a sort of a name change kind of thing we were talking about earlier. But Cincinnati kayak fishing, 150-mile radius, that's a lot of fun because you have 150 miles in either direction of Cincinnati, Great American Ballpark, in a sense, to fish eligible waters. And I wanted to choose I chose Grant Lake here, close to use the new Hobie Mirage Drive that's strictly sail up in Blue Ash, Ohio, and Kenwood Road had blessed me with having the opportunity to do that. I have probably entered maybe 60 tournaments, 70 tournaments maybe even more. You know, when you're considering online state challenges and stuff like that, you know.
They start adding up.
Yeah, they add up. And you know what? If I really knew then what I know now, when I went Blitzkrieg in that first real year, 2018, of me fishing all of every KBF event I could. Because I had to join, I didn't have to, but I went ahead and joined KBF for 2017 to do the Cave Run tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I would have been in the running for Rookie of the Year. with all of my participation points. When I went back and looked at the numbers, I was like just right there with Rookie of the Year points because I did everything. So word to the wise, or is that how they say that? If you want to sign up for something like that, sign up at the very beginning of the year, you know, then at the end, you know, but had the 150-mile radius yesterday at Cave Run Lake. Super dirty, nasty, lot of structure up underneath that. I had no electronics.
You meant Grant Lake, not Cave Run.
Yeah, Grant Lake for the 150-mile radius, but yeah, got on that Cave Run Lake there. But anyway, but what was we even talking about?
The new Hobie, man. The Lynx.
Right. Did we already segueing into that?
Yeah, might as well.
Because we were...
You're moving to Grant Lake. Shallow. Muddy.
Yeah, so...
Why did you go to Grant's Lake? Let me ask what every listener out there wants to ask you.
Why?
Why did you go to Grant's Lake, man? Come on.
Okay.
Grant's Lake.
The real... this is just the God's honest truth reason. When... because of my smaller frame, you know, I admit it, I'm a little guy. I don't have a lot of, like, I can pick up the couch, you know, and help you move it. But I just, with that Hobie Pro Angler 14, that's a massive kayak for me. And I've got into the bad habit of loading as much as I possibly can on that thing. And as a result, I have it just loaded down with all kinds of stuff. So I used the jet ski trailer to move that thing around, okay? The Hobie Pro Angler 14 is not leaving my life. It is a watercraft that has a very specific function and it can do a lot of things. It really is like the mothership.
Yeah.
If there was the great white kayak fleet out there, the Pro Angler would definitely be the battleship. It's the USS New Jersey BB-62 Wisconsin class battleship.
Well, it was designed for ocean stuff. I mean, it's right. Big water. It's a big water kayak.
Would you drop that keel on the bottom, which is so impressive, man, you know. Don't forget to leave the keel down when you're in front. Why is this thing not turning?
like force you straight.
The right, keel. But it's... that thing has its purpose, but for me to really, I feel literally scared to death to take that thing down Little Miami River.
Yeah, it's big.
I tried it twice, and both times did not go well. I bent the Mirage Drive the first time, and the Mirage Drive, even with the fins in the up position, I shouldn't have taken the Mirage Drive with me probably down there and just relied on using the paddle and just, you know, drifting down through that thing. But, you know, I liked the Mirage Drive, and I thought that if I got in the spaces of the Little Miami River where you could work that thing, it's fun. I'm a bang fisherman. I like getting there real tight and stuff like that. Bad idea, man. You try to, if that thing's not pulled up, man, that drive in the up position, those fins, that got hung up on some rocks, man, and that thing went sideways on me, and it nerved me, really.
It's a big kayak.
You're in a quarter inch of water, and it scares the bejesus out of you. You know, but water's a powerful thing. Yeah. There's a lot of water rushing up on that. You're risking losing everything, you know, not to mention the embarrassment. The two catfishermen sitting there on the bank going, Lordy, Lord, this guy's going to die right in front of us. Are you willing to jump in the water? Nope. Looks like he's got a PFD on. No, I can't do it. So, before it even came out, I had that opportunity with Cecil Hogue from Sea Eagle to jack around with that Subcat 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without having that opportunity, I would have never recognized the ease of movement of a watercraft across the surface of water.
Yep.
It was like effortless for this thing to move. A cumbersome watercraft. I don't think Cecil's gonna, his intentions are to take it very far, but he's a thinker and he likes to just create stuff, and he was working really thinking outside the box, yes, to design a Subcat or a what she has got, like it's a skiff, basically, that you can use to sit on with a very comfortable, like John Boat seat, basically is his design, you know, that kind of stuff. So I thought that was genius. Cecil, if this thing could come with some type of a drive, like the Wilderness System Propel drive or the Hobie Mirage drive, wow, this would be really cool, because with the stand-up paddleboard, I'm just going left and right, and I, be honest with you, I just feel kind of goofy out there on this thing, trying to get around, the wind gets it, so it had its issues. We fast forward. I think, just as hard loading and launching the Hobie Pro Angler 14, getting it ready for the water, as I really do getting out in it and finally getting in that thing. It's kind of a chore. And, you know, I always thought, man, if I could have the same stability of this watercraft, because I went down the Little Miami River in a Jackson kayak, and I flipped that thing. I got too quick past that secondary. And man, you're talking about jumping up out of the water, because that's it literally.
It's cold water.
It's.
Generally speaking.
Yeah, there's monsters down there, man. So I'm coming up out of that water quick, you know. So I've got, you know, I just have this fear of water. Where the Hobie Pro Angler 14, for lack of a better description, puts its arms around me. Yeah. Kind of, I feel secure in that thing, you know. If I could find something that was light, portable, transportable, I'm a Lyft driver. If I had the opportunity to be able to, on a small car, to throw something that is just as stable as the Hobie Pro Angler 14 and just zip down finally to the Little Miami River and ride that thing like you're supposed to, and venture out with the ease of just literally taking that stability. And the Mirage drive, the ability to move and get back into stuff that's really shallow, that would be a cool thing. So about, 2-3 weeks ago, I saw this video on Facebook that Hobie produced about the new Mirage drive links. Mm-hmm. And I saw some aerial drone videos of that, how that was turning. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. So I read the specs on it. Brian Tacey of Strictly Sail up there in Blue Ash put the word out that there were some coming in. I volunteered, like, first to show up at the dock to see what a trailer full of kayaks look like. Okay? And I'll get to the reason why I chose Grant Lake here momentarily.
I was saying, we're still waiting for that.
Yeah. Right? So to see how those kayaks, you have three 360s, brand new Hobie Pro Angler 360s stacked up over here, and you have like 10 of these Mirage Links stacked up over here, like Pringles. Yeah. They're flat and they stack right up on top of each other. I said, oh my gosh, we started pushing those out at 45 pounds.
How easy was that?
It was amazing. It's, you know, 45 pounds of beans on top of your head's a lot, but when it's 11 foot long,
yeah,
and it's 36 inches wide, immediately went, oh, okay, this is cool. I'm proud, very proud to announce that Strictly Sail is sponsoring John Graves Kayak Fishing.
Congratulations,
man. I didn't see that one coming.
Congratulations.
I thank you. I appreciate it, and I feel very honored, because there's some really tremendous talent in this group, and it feels really special. I really appreciate that. So they were gracious enough to say, hey, take the papaya. It comes in two colors, a gray, which I don't know. At first, my knee jerk would have been to pick the gray color because I'm a Navy guy, you know, and it just kind of goes back all with my black Yak Gadget stuff. And that's just what I would have done. You know, gray kind of goes with everything. But the papaya, which gives it more of a recreational kind of feel to it color, it grew on me.
It does look good,
and it's got great contrast with the stuff that you put on it.
Yeah.
But outside of cosmetics, super light, they allowed me to use it for the tournament at Grant Lake. And this is why I chose Grant Lake. The first time I took the Hobie Pro Angler out to all of the local eligible waters we have here in southwestern Ohio, I hit Grant Lake I didn't have electronics. It was before I knew really anything about the Navionics and how you could kind of use that and stuff like that. And you know what? There's just stuff underneath that muddy water that you are not going to see. And I was cooking it. Man, I was just fired away, and I had that Mirage working, and I hit something so hard that if the pro angler had an airbag in the front of it, it would have deployed. It stopped me immediately. I was probably doing 3.5-4 miles an hour on the water, and it hit me, and I stopped, and I couldn't pull the drive up out, and I knew damage was done. I finally got the drive up out, and that whole front fin was just bent back, and I was like, what do I do? So, with 10 mile an hour gust facing me, and probably 800 meters to get back to the dock, I realized right then and there, a long time ago, how hard it is to paddle a Hobie Pro Angler 14.
It's no fun.
No, it's horrible. It was horrible. So, one of the exciting features that really I enjoyed about what Hobie did was the Mirage, was the kick-up fins.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Revolutionary.
It sounds so, it's like, well, that's a no-brainer. And it's almost like one of those things, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
You know? But it's there, and it works, and it, I'm telling you what, after yesterday, to put it sort of like in the testing field, I had that Hobie Mirage Lynx cruising through less than 6 inches of water with those fins feathered up underneath that hull. I was just feathering that thing, and we were moving and grooving through 6 inches of water.
Crazy.
It was amazing. And intentionally, I was hitting the banks at some speed, and there is, and I'll tell you what, you know what you hit when you're coming up full speed? And I'm probably going about 5 to maybe 6 miles an hour in that Mirage when you get it cooking. Effortlessly, it's like drinking a malt from United Dairy Farmers. Nothing. We're not sponsored by United Dairy Farmers, but probably should be. But it was so smooth that when you do hit carp, you hit a big old lazy carp right there, and he thinks a bald eagle's coming down on him. And but boy, those fins just kick right up. You're hitting stuff, and it's just amazing. So I wanted to try out the fins for that reason, and I knew that this watercraft would be perfect for this type of situation. Yeah. And this, so I sacrificed really what probably would happen to me. You know, I'm not going to be going into. I knew that I wasn't going to go in there, and really, I was like, if I get one fish, it'll be cool, just so I can experience what it's like, you know, to catch a fish on this thing in a tournament, and go through all of the measures of the measuring board, and that's going to be different with no gunnels on the side of this thing.
Yeah, that changed,
you know,
a little bit.
It changed a little bit what I did, but I still felt comfortable doing it. But by golly, I happened to do my limit. It was the second time in 70, 80 tournaments plus that I made my limit. And thank you, Cincinnati Kayak Fishing, by the way, of having a limit of only 3 with 8 inches. Which I write right on the back of my hand. I put 3 fish, 8 inches, and then the ID number. So for those of you who are starting out, that's a good thing to do. I just do it because I kind of forget stuff every once in a while. But I wouldn't have been able to catch my limit and then upgrade. I actually had a good upgrade there. If I did not have the opportunity to navigate in such tight closeness and quietly
going shallow,
into the shallows and just robbing the banks, trying to get the males off of there to, you know, get the limit and get that stuff going. But the ease of lifting this thing up 45 pounds onto the Suburban, throwing it up there on the factory bike racks that's never been used on that thing. I put 2 spaghetti foam noodles up on that thing, and I put that kayak up there. I strap it down, couple straps, holds it fine.
When was the last time you car topped? I mean, I haven't car topped in years.
No, I can't. I've never been able to car top.
No.
Right?
And to be that's a big deal, I think. I think that's a really big deal, being able to truly, legitimately car top. Because, you know, once my kayak started weighing more than 50 pounds, Car topping just meant I was beating my car up, you know, because you're kind of fighting the kayak to get up on like my car. That's awesome.
Scratching paint.
Yeah, and just being able to toss up there 45 pounds.
Boom. And it looks good. It's not some big, bulky, goofy thing. What I like about Yakima bike racks and those kind of new, really kind of aerodynamic racks they got for skis and stuff, they kind of make your car look cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That makes your car look really cool when it's on top of it. It's just a really low profile. I mean, literally, I don't know how deep the whole stand-up paddleboard slash kayak hybrid that it is, but it's probably 6 inches, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, about that deep. So it's not real big, bulky thing on top of it, but... The rudder, you can hook up with one pin, and you can hook the rudder control either on your port or your starboard side on your removable Hobie beach chair seat that comes with a cup holder that's also removable on either side. That's more convenient. It comes with the paddle board. And, man, what do you think about it?
I can't wait to check one out on, like you said, like the little one. You know, I just think that is going to be the boat for that, man. Dragging it through the woods, you know, getting someplace that's on some of these remote spots, 45 pounds. I mean, I've been using my Outback for doing a lot of that stuff, but you're talking, that's 100 plus pounds moving the Outback around. This is going to be 45 pounds. I mean, half the weight. And you know, it's fish finder friendly too.
Yeah.
It's not just a paddle board where you're gonna have to do some major modifications to get a fish finder to work. This is a fishing. Yeah. I like everything I've seen about it. Really, just the how flat it is. They're stackable. You know, if people want a husband and wife want something that's easy to use. You know, because let's face it, you know, we're into the sport heavily, but not everyone else is, you know. Some people are only going to have the weekends to do stuff. Man, how perfect is it to be able to do it easily?
Yeah.
You know, not have to have a trailer. You can actually store these in your garage, you know what I mean? That's all that stuff I just think is going to be so cool. And seeing how you can do that, they already have an A-trail accessory for it.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, so that means if you're a junkie for accessories and you want to put a bin box on there, you want to put a fish finder on there, you want some camera mounts, you want a troll, man, throw the A-trails on there, bam, you can do it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's...
I just think it's neat. You know, it's one of those things that's scalable, you know? You can take it over the top or you can go minimal with it.
Right.
I kind of like it minimal, man, and then you can just throw it over a bridge, like we were saying. Just throw it over a bridge. Jump down next to the side of the road, hop in some remote place that people aren't fishing, and hop on it and cruise down. Oh, that just sounds like heaven.
You can Rambo that thing. Yeah. Lower it with a rope.
Yeah.
You know, we all just risk killing ourselves in the opposing traffic as we're driving across bridges and we gooseneck it to look out the window to see what that water looks like down there. And you're thinking, man, if I could only get the kayak down there. Now you can just stop up there where all the other hillbillies do. Tie that thing to a rope. Here I go.
Yeah, and some people are like, well, it's just a hard body I-11. And I'm like, well, it's a little different than that. You know, because the I-11, let's face it, is the king of the mountain when it comes to portability. You know, you put it in your trunk. That's the whole idea of the I-11. You know, this is totally different, I feel like. And that it's designed to have accessories put on it, like a fish finder, like right from the get-go. It's really easy to accessorize for fishing and really dial it in. I think it's going to be a super hot boat, and I can see people using it as a paddleboard too, because, I mean, I see a lot of people paddleboarding now.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you get, you know, two for one?
Right. It's the way that you can put it, how fast you can put that thing together and get it ready for the water.
Yeah.
You know, from total disassembled, you know, in the back, on top of your, literally on top of your SUV, and you take that thing, you dip it in the water, you attach the rudder, you put the chair on, and you're pushed out in the water. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
It was amazing how fast. I'm kind of, you know, there at Grant Lake, you can pull up to the dock and then, you know, back your boat in or whatever you have there. And then you have to drive about maybe 200 meters up to the upper parking lot. You know, this is one of those things that literally just park up in the upper parking lot, put those wheels up underneath this thing. You know how you have to struggle a little bit with those wheels and underneath the pro angler. You're like, you know, pulling the Eric Siddiqui on somebody at the dock going, hey man, can you help me lift this thing? You know? And, but this one, you know, there's no problem in lifting the back of this thing and putting up the wheels yourself.
Yeah.
And then just pulling it down the, you know, the road. It's our trail or wherever you need to go. Maybe you don't even want to use that dock. You just dip it out over the bank, you know. It's amazing.
I think when you get back to the dock, man, or back to the ramp. You know, sometimes in our lakes around here, we only have two ramps, these lakes, and there'll be hundreds of boats on there. And half of them will be wanting to leave at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Right. You just pull it to the bank. Pull it up on the grass, put your wheels in, and walk it right up and not have to wait in line and deal with all the nonsense that's happening around a crowded boat ramp.
Let me ask you an official rule. It's not trying to get off the topic or anything like it and dive into deep, and hopefully we'll turn right back out. But, but you brought something to my mind is public access and launching a tournament. Okay, the legality is it's got to be accessible by public,
right?
Anybody in the public to launch a water.
So that's starting to change, I guess, a little bit. And it does have to be accessible by anybody. But, you know, I have not done a KBF trail event this year. I'm not going to be doing one until St. Clair. But they were telling me that KBF changed the rules, so it has to be a public ramp, no more launching by the side of the road.
Okay, that's what I'm leading to.
So it's important to know whatever trail you're doing, because there are nuances to the rules that could have a big outcome at the end of the day. Because like if that is absolutely correct, and I am not sure that it is because I have not had a chance to look it up, I was just told that yesterday. If that's correct, I mean, that cuts out a lot of places people launch for tournaments. I mean, I've looked at side of bridges before where it's just like a little dirt path that goes down and stuff. And because, I mean, let's face it, that gets you up to a lot of places.
So that was my thought. With the Mirage Links, I can just run. I don't have to go to the boat ramp. I'm going to lower this thing down in a bridge and get up access, because, in a sense, I guess if that guy wanted to tie a rope to his Hobie Pro Angler 14 and lower it over the bridge, he could do it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but...
But that gets you back into places that are going to be a little less pressure. You know? That's the whole idea.
Right.
That's what we do with the kayaks. Right. That's the whole point of even having a pro angler is getting to places a boat couldn't get.
Well, this thing yesterday performed flawlessly, and I think as a result of that, it allowed me to really feel so much better. I really feel like I matured as an angler yesterday in a big way. I switched to braid, you know, and the reason I went straight to braid, I went braid straight to the lure, you know, to the jig, because, you know, it's muddy there. They're not going to, that lead's not going to make no difference, man. They're not going to react to that. So I thought I'm going to do that. And everything worked great. All my equipment's, big shout out to Quantum. Man, thank you so much. Those Quantum combos are great. I loved it. Those things work flawlessly. And then, but that allowed me to operate as an angler more efficient with that. It was light. It was maneuverable. It didn't wear me out with the open deck in front of it.
Yeah.
And not the rails, not the Lowrance sitting up high, not my water bottle out here in front, not my big ego net way up here over the bow that I gotta really reach to get when that fish is coming in. There's a lot of activity around flying the almost B-25 Mitchell bomber of the pro angler. There's a lot of activity, right? The Hobie Mirage Lynx had so much efficiency to it with where my hands went to control the rudder to the open deck there, bringing the fish in and casting. My efficiency was on.
It's a clean deck, man. You know, no hatches.
Right.
That Lynx is such a clean deck.
You want to put stuff up there.
Yeah.
But I think, not yet. Put it more on I'll begin on the sides here, you know. Put the electronics over here on the left-hand side, you know. put that right there up close would be really nice, you know. Tuck that battery in up underneath the seat, you know, up underneath there or right behind the seat. But speaking of the seat itself, it holds 275 pounds. So you can have a big frame in that seat. One thing about the Hobie Pro Angler 14 seat for larger frame folks, man, you know, those big linemen that are trying to get inside that Hobie Pro Angler 14, you know, really pinches the legs.
There's only so much
quads, you know, and you're kind of really strapped in there, you know. But with the straps that support the back of that Lynx seat, that's removable, can also become a beach chair. Really allows everything to be more open and just, gosh, your legs feel a lot more comfortable. And you're even able to do like a Maid Marian's like sideways style. Just kicking
back. That's pretty amazing for stability to be able to.
You could. My feet were in the water. I felt so comfortable and felt so intimate with the water. They're on the surface of it. You're not reaching down over the gunwale. You know, you are
right
bringing it right there, and the bass is, his mouth is right there, right below your cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's almost like the anti-pro angler, because all the stuff that the pro angler shines at is like removing you from the water, keeping you drier, it being able to do bigger water. It's like, this is like, this boat is like so far the opposite direction. Pro Angler's already like accessorized a lot, and there's hatches everywhere. No hatches, you know. It's almost like the anti-Pro Angler, which is good, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, everyone needs two boats.
Well, this is going to be a hell of a sidearm for you pros, for you guys. If you, every one of you, guys and gals out there that are serious about this sport and are up there in the money and are the pros. If you don't have one of these strapped to the top of your roof, you're crazy.
Yeah, easy to transport.
You're crazy. Yeah. You are crazy if you don't. So that's going to be common. You'll see it.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have one of these. Don't cash in the Pro Angler 14s and 12s yet.
Yeah. No. It's a totally different boat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go main lake, big water boat. You can't beat the Pro Angler.
Right.
You know? But if the Lynx though, if, you know, you get a river guy who occasionally fishes big water, but mostly fishes rivers, it's a no-brainer, man.
Yeah.
No-brainer. Especially if someone has any adventure in their mind, man, where you're putting in, like, you know, like we said, man, you know, steep riverbanks, you know, lowering it in. I can't wait to see what people do with this boat, man.
Yeah.
And where they take it and how they get it there. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It has really nice Mirage mat, the Hobie mat there. Underneath your foot, you know, where the in front of the chair there where your feet are. And one thing I can't do is turn sideways and stand in my Hobie Pro Angler 14. I can't do that because it does have that rock to it. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, as a secondary. Yep.
But you do lean over on that secondary there, and it nerves me. And I can't do that. That's totally changed with the Mirage Lynx.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a much more solid play.
It is super solid. It feels like a floating dock feel to it. Like you just have this big, stable floating dock. It's moving, but you know you're not going to flip over on it. You know, you have a really intimate, stable feel to it. There's definitely going to be one in my life in the future.
Yeah, I foresee getting one.
Man.
And having that for my second car.
Right. I think that platform's going to probably start there. It's almost like it's gone, stepped into the future with the hybrid of the stand-up paddleboard and the kayak, and now all of a sudden it's going to go into more of like a Lego kind of thing where you could just start adding materials to this basic platform, and really it's going to build up from here, I think.
Build it up how you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So we're starting with this one.
Yeah.
Can add eight trails, which can add a fish finder. It's all set up for adding all this stuff, but you don't start that way. Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
And a sail.
And a sail. Yeah,
it's got a sail. You put up a mini top on it.
Talk about versatility for recreation. You can go kayaking in it. You can go fishing in it. You can go sailing in it, and you can use it as a paddleboard. That's a lot of different uses.
Right. Okay. So that.
That's great.
You got mom and dad and two kids. Okay. One's into power sports. He gets the 180 dry. Mom likes the workout of the stand-up paddleboard. That's what she uses hers for. Dad's into sailing, right? He wants to pop that sail out and just see how fast he can get that going. And the daughter, she's just into get baking in the sun. And so she's got the Bimini top. And all four of them can go out and use basically the same watercraft and take them home and stack them up like Pringles.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, man. It really is.
I mean, and for the urban person that lives in the apartment, you know, I'm telling you what, this is going to be coming into the house so easily for the angler that's losing all of that very valuable sleep you need before a tournament because your kayak's out there in the middle of the motel parking lot being molested. You know, now you can just walk this thing right up inside your room and sleep next to it.
So now you're encouraging people to take their kayaks into the motel rooms. Yes.
Because the links is so, take the links to the motel room, right? What'd you do last night? I spent the night in a motel room with the links, right? Well, thanks. Well, Kurt, anything else, man, you got?
No, I don't got anything else, man.
Big shout out to Strictly Sail, everybody up there, the Tasty Outlaw gang. They've been with Hobie since the start.
Yeah,
forever. As you know, family-owned business up there since 1972. And they were in the sailing. Of course, Hobie started, I guess, making surfboards out of a garage, like in Oceanside or something. Some story goes some like story that. Yeah. Got into sailing with the Hobie Cat. That was the new thing.
That was a big thing.
Right, right. And then they just, they saw this coming. You know, starting to see the big ocean, getting out there and guys chasing after marlins and tuna and grouper, you know, but they wanted to do it in a kayak and... And they
invented the pedal drive. Yeah. They invented the pedal drive.
You think they were just out there as ocean people and looking at how fast that seal could go through the water and swim? Why couldn't they?
Yeah, it's supposed to be off of a penguin fin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the guy took the inspiration of how it moved, and he didn't want a prop because he saw limitations with the prop, with line and how shallow you can go and all these different things, and he came up with that drive. That's amazing. What,
hanging out with the penguins on a surfboard.
Hanging out with the penguins, man. That's way before there was reverse or 180 or 360. This is just straight version one. And yeah, to see it progress so much, to see them go from making the program, you know, coming up with a big kayak for big water, you know, that was before anyone else would have done.
Right.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
And so it's just natural that it just, transferred into Midland, you know, fishing and stuff like that, and it's bass tournaments that we're into now. And now the evolvement of where the sport's going, where this sport's going, into shallower waters, bigger challenges, deeper places. Man, it's going to be exciting to see, and this is going to be the watercraft I think it's going to really get. This is almost like the finesse tai chi of kayaks out there, you know? It's really a connection. You really have an intimate connection to the environment in this watercraft. So if you have an opportunity to get up to Blue Ash and meet the Tasty Outlaw gang there on Kenwood Road, you can't miss the place. There's sailboats all over and now kayaks. And check out a bunch of different, they got a lot of brands up there.
They do. Yeah.
The Johnny Boat. I like that thing. That's a beast.
That's
they got the Johnny Boats. Hey, it's all, you know, I think the Johnny Boat's genius for duck hunters. You know, so it's got all kinds of applications. And then they got other kayaks, but check out the Hobie Mirage Lynx. A demo is available if you have the opportunity to go out with any one of the Strictly Sail Pro Staff team. They'll take you out there on the water. You can check out the watercraft. You're certainly more than welcome to come over here at the Rockin' Star Ranch and put it out in the pond and check it out here. So we can make that available for you if you're interested in it. But I can almost guarantee it that the moment somebody sits in this watercraft and pedals this thing around, it's like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I need two.
It's a no-brainer.
I need to. It's like, there's no thought behind it. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening to John Graves Kayak Fishing here on Anchor FM. Say so long, Kurt.
So long, everybody.
I'll see you guys. Thanks so much.
Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by Yak Gadget. They make the kayak accessories that are there designed to help you create and own your own adventure out there on the water. Whether it's adding propulsion storage or installing an anchor system in just a matter of seconds, Yak Gadget has you covered. They have the ultimate storage solution featuring the Low Pro Crate, the Low Pro XD. You can motorize your kayak in literally seconds, add propulsion without drilling anything into your kayak, which I think is more important. Anchoring is made easy, featuring the Quick Stop anchor system. Folks, check it out. Personalize your adventure. It's your kayak and you make it your world. Check it out at yakgadget.com. This year down in Orlando at 2021 ICAST, I hope to see you and get the opportunity to meet as many people as I possibly can. I'm going to be down there with my American Tackle family. You know, I could give you the booth number. There is 200,000 square feet of booth down there when it comes to everything and anything, and the most innovative and the latest and the greatest in the fishing industry. It is action-packed and stacked down there. All I need for you to do is just simply look for the microwave guy and the American Tackle sign. You're not gonna miss us. Trust us. Follow all the rod builders. Check out our great American Tackle Pro Staff products at AmericanTackleAnglerProducts.com. And I hope to see you at ICAST. Thank you.